I did this message this morning. The title of the message is Scar Stories. Scar Stories. Any of you after church, I know where everybody was busy, but I'm wondering, maybe even tonight, some of you will go out in the hallway and do some scar stories. We all have scar stories, right? Even you ladies probably got some scar stories that you would be able to tell. But we said this morning that the scars of Christianity with the disciples, the apostles, with Paul, we looked at his sufferings, the persecution that he went through. And the Lord told him he was going to suffer in Acts chapter 9. God made it very clear that Paul was going to suffer for the name of God, the name of Jesus Christ. And so this morning we talked about the scars of Christianity. Tonight I want to talk about the scars of the cross. The scars of the cross. Look at John chapter 20 and verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Father, bless the message tonight. Again, thank you, Lord Jesus, what you did for us on that cross. It certainly was above and beyond anything that we can even imagine. We weren't there, Lord. We didn't see what you went through, but Lord, we can read about it in the scriptures. And Lord, it always amazes me that you went through what you did for me and for all of us, because you love us so much. You want to see us saved. You want to see us in heaven someday. And Lord, so you went to that cross. You shed your blood for us. You suffered horrendously because you love us. Lord, bless this time that we have here as we discuss this a little bit here tonight. Help us, Lord, to try to understand just maybe a little bit of what you went through on that cross. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Not a human being alive other than Christ that would be able to understand what he went through on the cross. Except maybe somebody else that was hanging there going through exactly what he went through. Even the thieves on both sides of Jesus didn't go through what he went through. They apparently didn't get the beating, the cat of nine tails, prior to their crucifixion. They were nailed to the cross just like Jesus was. But Jesus was, he was horrendously tortured before he was nailed to the cross. I want to give you a little scenario of some of the things that he went through. During the times of Christ in those days, there were various forms of execution that the Romans used to execute prisoners and others. The hanging was obviously one, but that was a pretty much an immediate death with the hanging, as you know. Stoning was another form of execution. It was very popular in the Old Testament. It was even popular in the New Testament. Stephen was stoned. Paul was stoned, as we read this morning. And probably experts kind of assume or realize that when somebody is stoned, it takes about 20 minutes for them to die. Depending on where they're hit with the stones, well, you can imagine being tied down or however they did it. And the stoning would kill them in about 20 minutes. The head being cut off, well, that was an immediate death. They even burned people alive. That was awful. But many times people died of suffocation from the smoke before the flames even got to them. So it could have been somewhat merciful. The Romans wanted something to make the person suffer. They wanted to be able to see a person or have a person suffer for an hour, 3 hours, a day, or even longer. Crucifixion fit that bill. Alexander the Great found this method around 350 B.C. in some country that he conquered, and he brought it back, and it became a popular form of execution. Crucifixion was. The cause of death in crucifixion primarily is suffocation. If a person is hanged by their hands for a long period of time or an extended period of time, the intercostal muscles, that's the muscles between the ribs, go paralyzed, and it's very difficult for the individual to breathe. Germans used to do this in concentration camps. They would hang people up by their hands and see how long they would live. Some lived for an hour or maybe a little bit more, but over time, as they were hanging just by their hands, they would suffocate. And so they thought about this, and if they suffocate in an hour, then why crucify them if they're just hanging by their hands? How could they prolong the suffering, the Romans thought? And so they came up with an idea or a way to prolong the suffering. A nail in the feet. Put the feet together and put a nail in the feet, and that way you could push yourself up. Can you imagine the pain that would be? I can't even imagine the pain of having nails driven in my hands. They weren't driven in this part of the hand, by the way. They were driven up here in this part. This whole part of your hand is considered the hand. Your wrist is considered the hand. And so if they put the nail here, they would pull right out through the little amount of area that you had. I know all of the pictures show the prints here, but it was more up in this area here where the wrist would be able to hold, the nail in the wrist would be able to hold them up a lot longer. They would put the feet together and they would drive one spike, one nail through both feet. And that's what they would use to push up just to try to get some air. And so that's what they did. The picture of someone on the cross is not someone hanging limp. It's somebody working every minute and every second on the cross just to get enough air to breathe. Jesus made 7 statements on the cross. The longest statement he made was 14 words in our English Bible. 14 words. Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That was the longest statement that Jesus made on the cross. Why was that? He wasn't able to preach a sermon. He wasn't able to preach for 45 minutes. He wasn't able to put out some kind of a parable that everybody could understand. The only thing he could do is get enough breath to say just a few words as he's hanging there, literally suffocating on the cross. 7 statements, but very few words he could even say as he was hanging there. The customs of that time was the person being crucified would carry their own cross from the prison to the point of execution. In this case, it was from the Antonia prison to where Calvary was, which was about 1,000 steps. They would actually carry the crossbar, not the entire cross. The upright was already put in place, and the crossbar they would carry on their shoulders to the point of crucifixion. How much did that cross weigh, or the crossbar weigh? The crossbar probably weighed anywhere from 60 to 75 pounds. The cross was probably 250 pounds, just the upright part. And so the custom was to carry the crossbar. When somebody was put on a cross, a nail was put in the wrists, and the wrist again is part of the hand, and it involved it included the wrist bone, the hand bones, and all parts of the hand. The person would be nailed to the crossbar first, and then it would be placed on top of the upright. And then there would be a notch at the top, and then a sign would be placed on a groove up there, and we know that that's what Jesus had. A nail would be placed in the feet, and then the pushing would start. Up and down, trying to just get enough air to breathe. The Bible says that no bones would be broken in Jesus, and that was the case. His legs were not broken. The custom was that after they hung on the cross for a long period of time, and when it was time to allow them to die, the soldiers would come along with a club and break their legs. They couldn't push up anymore to get any air, and so they would hang there and suffocate. Are you getting a picture a little bit of what Christ went through for you and me? I know this might be a little grotesque. Maybe some of you might have a hard time comprehending this or dealing with this, but this is what Jesus went through. This is the reality of crucifixion. It's not something quick and easy. The Lord never did anything quick and easy. And He went through this for us. Jesus Christ did not die of suffocation. He bled to death. He bled to death. He literally allowed all of His blood to flow from His body. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, the Bible says. And so we know through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have redemption. We have forgiveness of sins. It was His shedding of His blood is what saves our soul. It's what has allowed the sins that you and I have committed to be cleansed. The cleansing is in the blood. And so Jesus didn't suffocate, as many did. He just simply bled to death. In the body of a 200-pound person is about 12 pints of blood, right, ladies, nurses, about, approximately? I did this research, so I think I know what I'm talking about. I'm not sure, but I think I know. So the body has about 12 pints of blood. If you weigh about 170 pounds, you might have 11 pints of blood. And I would say that Jesus was probably anywhere from 170 to 200 pounds in that area. The typical average man is what Jesus was. Jesus had already bled in the Garden of Gethsemane. We know that according to the Bible. It says that He bled blood and sweat. Blood was mingled with sweat. Right? So the bleeding of Jesus started in the Garden of Gethsemane when He was there praying and just in intense prayer. And so after the Garden of Gethsemane, He goes to Caiaphas, the high priest, before the Sanhedrin council. And then He goes to Pilate, and He goes to Herod, He goes back to Pilate, He goes back and forth. From what I understand, there was about 7 illegal things that they did with Jesus that night. And then they prepared Him for crucifixion. He went to the Antonia prison. And the beatings started in prison. The Romans came by and just started beating on Him. Hitting Him in the face. Hitting Him across the head. I can't imagine how He felt. And He stood there and took it all. Never complained. Never said to any of them, "I'll see you burn in hell." He could have. He could have just all of a sudden had a force field come around Him, and He could have been protected from all of that. He could have said, "That's it, I've had enough, I'm out of here. I'm going back to heaven where my Father is. I'm going back to heaven where it's nice." But He stood there and He took everything that they gave Him. He was beaten all night, by the way, after His arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. They just started beating on Him. Black and blue. Black eyes. Pilate pronounced a scourge in hopes that he wouldn't have to send Him to a cross to be crucified. Pilate did everything he could. He tried to get out of that whole thing of that crucifixion. Why? What did he do? And of course, they just kept yelling at Him and yelling and screaming, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." And Pilate said to Him, I find no fault in this man. He's done nothing worthy of death. Pilate's wife came to him and says, "I've had a dream here today. You need to watch out what you're doing with this man." I'm putting it in my own vernacular here. But so Pilate said, we'll scourge him. You've got to understand what it means to be scourged. The scourging was a beating with a cat of nine tails. You ever seen one of those? I've never seen one in person. I've seen pictures on them. Pictures of them. They have nine thongs going off from this handle. And on each of those, there's at the end, there's bone, there's pieces of metal, sharp pieces of instrument. And there'd be nine of those. And then the soldier would just, they would tie the individual to a post, expose the back completely. And the Roman soldier would start beating the individual with that cat of nine tails. And they say there was no maximum. You know, normally you would do 39 lashes and then you'd stop because you could kill a person if you went beyond 39. But when a scourge is sentenced to the individual and the person is about ready to be crucified, the Roman soldier would take as long and go as far as he wanted to. And he would just start beating. And those pieces would grab a hold of the flesh and just start tearing the flesh off the back of the person. Between 8 and 15 lashes, the skin would come off. Between 15 and 20, there was no skin left on the back. And it would wrap around the sides. And they even say, and I know this is gross, but they say with some people, their insides would start to fall out. And I think that's the way it was with Jesus. Under the skin is a fat layer, and then muscles and veins and blood, of course. 25 to 35 of these lashings, the cutting would be into the muscles. And by 40, just about everything was gone on the back of that person. 50% of the people died as a result of the beating. 50% of the people would die as a result of the beating. Probably 4 to 5 pints of blood would be lost during this time. Jesus may not, by now only have about 6 pints of blood. About half of his blood would be there by now. You can imagine the thirst. You can imagine the pain. You can imagine with the muscles in his back gone, how in the world would he be able to carry the cross? Of course, you know the story, how the Roman soldiers, Jesus tried his best to carry the cross up those 1,000 paces to Calvary, but he couldn't do it. He had lost most of his blood. Muscles were gone. You wouldn't be able to do that either. But he tried. They say that 75% of the people that received just this beating alone would be dead within 3 weeks. They wouldn't be able to survive this kind of beating. Of course, they placed a crown of thorns on his head and put a robe on him, and a scepter in his hand, and the cloak on his back, and then they would remove that. Can you imagine the pain of that? Loss of more blood? This was not the same kind of death that the thieves went through. The thieves did not suffer this much. Yes, they were nailed to the cross, and that's worse. But you have to understand that Jesus went through far more than most people ever went through. Remember, he is shedding his blood for us. And that's what he did. He shed his blood for us. He couldn't even carry the cross. He was weak from the loss of blood, and his back is in pain that you and I probably can't even comprehend. The trip to the cross was about 1,000 steps. His head, look at Isaiah. Go to Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah 52, and look at verse 14. I said this morning several times that scars tell a story. And in Isaiah chapter 52, look at verse 14, please. Isaiah 52 and verse 14, as many were astonished at thee. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. When they got done with him, they couldn't even recognize who he was. You couldn't look at his face and tell that he was even Jesus. Black eyes, black and blue face, the head was swollen horribly. The skin was gone on his back, the muscles were destroyed. Go back to Isaiah 50 and verse 6. Isaiah 50 and verse 6. This is just Bible verses that we see that are prophesied about Christ. He said, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. They literally pulled his beard out. Can you imagine the pain from that alone? Having your beard pulled out, the hairs on your face pulled out. He's lost most of his blood by now. He's stumbling as he's going. And then they nail him to the cross. 6 hours on the cross, pushing up and down. The nail in the feet. I can't imagine his back is against the upright and he's pushing up against that, just trying to get enough air to breathe. The pain from that alone had to be awful. The nail in his hands, the nail in the feet, and just pushing up, trying to get enough air to breathe, to stay alive as long as he could. His raw back, losing blood all the time, probably lost about 8 pints by this time. Jesus dies. He bled to death. He bled to death. He shed all of his blood for you and I. The soldiers then, a soldier came along with a spear and pierced his side. Around the heart is a sac, and then a space between the heart and the sac is the pericardial sac. The sac has 4 to 12 ounces of straw-colored fluid in it. The Bible says in John 19:34, take a look at that, John 19:34. John 19 and verse 34. One of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. That was the last amount of blood that Jesus had in his system. It was removed at that time by that spear. Go back to Isaiah 53. This may be hard for some people to hear this. But folks, this is reality. This is reality of what Jesus went through for you and for me. The love that he had for us. To be able, to be willing, not even able, but just willing to suffer, willing to go through that, is incredible. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3, the Bible says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Redemption through his blood. Colossians 1:14. Colossians 1:14. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. If you have an NIV, through His blood is not even there. They've removed through His blood in Colossians 1:14. Why do that? We know that it's the shedding of blood that gives us the forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Jesus Christ did everything for us. What are we doing for Him? First, are you saved? That blood that He shed for us gives us salvation, gives us remission of our sins, gives us forgiveness of sins by putting our trust and faith in Him. Tonight, I just wanted to give you some Bible verses on what He went through for us on the cross, because it's serious. Thomas was a doubter. We all know that. And when the other disciples of the apostles said to Thomas, hey, we've seen the Lord, He's alive. And Thomas says, unless I see those prints in His hand, unless I see that, unless I put my finger in those prints, and I put my hand into His side, he says, I won't believe. Jesus shows up that night, and He said, Thomas, you see Him? He may have removed His robe enough to show His right side where the spear pierced, and said, Thomas, you see this? See, scars tell a story. And Jesus' scars will be there to remind us of all eternity what He's done for us. I have heard some preachers say, and I don't really know this, there'll be no more, Christ won't be bleeding throughout all eternity. His blood has already been spent for us. But His wounds may never heal. His wounds may be fresh for us to see throughout all eternity. They may not scar over. They may be fresh. So we can see them in His hands and in His feet and in His side. But I do know this, that scars tell a story. And what Thomas saw that night, immediately Thomas believed in Jesus Christ. Immediately. He saw, he didn't have to touch, he didn't have to put his fingers in there. He said these words, my Lord and my God, when he saw the Lord. And Jesus makes this amazing statement. Jesus says, I'm back in John chapter 20 and verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. We have not seen what Thomas saw. We weren't at the foot of the cross that day. We weren't even standing off at a distance that Peter was, or the other apostles, or his mother, and the other women that were around the cross, and the other people that were hovering around Jesus that day. We have not seen that. But we get a glimpse through the Word of God as to what He went through. Just a glimpse. Some of the things that I've told you tonight came from a doctor who was a preacher that studied the crucifixion out in detail. He was a medical doctor. And it was his version about the blood loss and all of those things that I gave you tonight. But I just wanted on this topic today of how scars tell a story. I wanted you to see what Jesus went through for us. I want you to leave here tonight thinking about what Jesus did for you because of His love for you. I want you to think tomorrow as you're going through your work days, you're going through whatever it is you do tomorrow, I want you to think about what Jesus went through for you. I want you to think about it on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Matter of fact, I want you to think about it every day the rest of your life. Because we're going to be reminded throughout all eternity what Jesus did for us. He died for us. He shed His blood for us. He was nailed to a cross for us. Not just that, but He suffered that horrific, torturous beating for us. Kids, do you understand what Jesus did for you? Young people, teenagers, adults. Sometimes we just read through the Gospels quickly and we kind of forget, or we just kind of overlook it, or sometimes we say, ooh, I don't want to read that. Ooh, I don't want to hear that. Ooh, I don't want to see that. But it's part of the Scriptures that we cannot overlook. It's part of the Word of God that Christ gave us a little bit. Even in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, about His beard being pulled out and how His visage, you couldn't even recognize Him. He just simply was saying, I just want you to understand what I did for you. I want you to be appreciative of what I did for you. I love you so much that I went through that. Could you love me back some? We're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, strength. It's simply because He loves us so much. Scars tell a story. Father, thank You for loving us so much that You sent Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth, to live about 33 years, and then be nailed to a cross. But prior to that nailing, Lord, You went through an awful, awful, awful beating that we don't even understand. I've read it numerous times. I've studied it out. I've seen pictures of the whip that possibly was used, similar to what You were beaten with. And Lord, we read the stories and we understand a little bit, but Lord, I can't fathom the pain that You went through. And Lord, for us as human beings, we complain about everything. We complain over a hangnail. We get a little sick and we can't go to church. We get a little pain and we can't do this and we can't do that. But Lord, You went through so much for us on that cross. Lord, we just want to thank You tonight for that. I pray that You'd speak to our hearts, Lord. And if there's somebody here tonight in this room that's not saved, I pray that they would realize what You did for them and that they would trust You as Lord and Savior. Maybe somebody listening tonight online, not saved. I pray, Lord, for their salvation. Lord, I pray that we as Christians would have a better appreciation of what You did for us. And not just go through life pretending to be a Christian, but Lord, living a true Christian life, living a righteous life because of what You did for us. Speak to our hearts during this invitation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. If you need to come tonight for anything, you can come.